Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. In the last legislative session, Democrats passed a bill under the claim of protecting employee privacy, but we now know what we already suspected. Max Nelson is the Director of Labor Policy over at the Freedom Foundation, and he joins me now. Max, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason.
So take us through this House Bill 1888. How was it pitched initially?
Well, if you listen to lawmakers in Olympia earlier this year, House Bill 1888 was a fairly innocuous attempt to protect public employees' privacy and prevent them from being targeted by those that didn't like them because of their work as public employees. Now, we argued at the time that this was about preventing the Freedom Foundation from being able to effectively communicate with employees and let them know about their right to resign union membership. And a batch of emails and records that we've recently uncovered from earlier this year in the state legislature confirms that that we were right all along.
How so? What did the emails say?
Well, we have some interesting stuff here. So it's communications between state lawmakers and their staff in most cases, in some cases constituents. And you got some legislative heavy hitters here. You got Senator Sam Hunt, who chairs the State Government Committee. You got Senator Christine Rolfes, who chairs the Ways and Means Committee. Senator Karen Kaiser, who chairs the Labor and Commerce Committee. And all of them express at one point or another in these emails that the purpose of House Bill 1888 was to block public records requests submitted by the Freedom Foundation for lists of public employees.
When you get that information about a public employee, what do you do with it?
So the information that prior to 1888's passage was disclosable was already fairly narrow. So we would typically request public employees' names, their date of birth, and work email address. Work email address, we can then email employees information about the U.S. Supreme Court's Janus versus AFSCME decision from 2018, which struck down state laws like Washington's at the time that compelled union dues payment by public employees. And so as a result of that decision, employees now have the option of choosing for themselves whether to join or not join a labor union. So we would email employees information about their rights, and then we'd use the name and the date of birth to then match that information against the state voter file, which includes the name, date of birth, gender, marital status, and mailing address for every registered voter in the state of Washington. And that would allow us then to send mail to employees as well, informing them about the Janus decision and their rights.
And when you actually do that, when the Freedom Foundation sends out this information, it gets to the right person, how often do they say, I'm actually going with you guys. I don't want to give my hard working dues to the union.
Quite often. I mean, as a first point, many public employees that we communicate with were not aware of their rights until we contacted them. The unions that represent them certainly are not providing information about the Janus decision and what it means. To the extent that they ever talk about it, it's in vague terms about how it's an attack on unions in the middle class, but they never explain to people what it means. And certainly our public employers, state government agencies in Washington, have not taken the lead in informing people about their rights either. Unfortunately, many of our elected leaders rely on union campaign support, and so even those public officials don't have an incentive in helping employees understand their rights. So a lot of folks, like I said, are not aware of their rights when we first contact them, and then fairly large percentages do act on the information when it's been explained to them. Some of the largest unions in Washington, for example, the Washington Federation of State Employees, have seen membership declines of over 30% and increasing just since the Janus decision. And that's despite a number of legal roadblocks and hurdles that unions have implemented to make it difficult to opt out.
Max Nelson joining me on the line. He's the Director of Labor Policy for the Freedom Foundation, freedomfoundation.com. If you want to learn more information about their organization, he found out through public disclosure requests, which sound very boring and silly when we talk about them, but they're incredibly important to finding out in a lot of ways, what really goes on behind the scenes, that a bill that was all about protecting privacy of public employees, it was more about making sure that they didn't get access to information, telling them that they didn't actually have to join a union and they can actually opt out. Max, when you look at the politicians here who misled the public, although I say misled in sort of a sarcastic way, I suppose, because I think you and I, we've always known exactly what this was about. Do they get union dollars?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and several of them have even worked long careers as labor union officials themselves prior to serving in Olympia. But yes, every one of them, I think, that I've mentioned in my email here receives copious union campaign support. And it's almost impossible for any left-of-center politician in this state to not receive such support, because unions constitute so much of the campaign dollars that the state Democratic Party relies on, and then that money then it gets filtered around the state to, you know, all the significant races.
Actually, our next guest, Mark Mullett, would disagree with you on that one part.
Well, he might be an exception this year, yes.
So ultimately, what then does this mean? Because the bill is still in effect. We just found out they lied about it, and okay, they lie about lots of things.
Well, part of the reason this is interesting is because the legislature has not always complied with the Public Records Act.
Nope.
There was some litigation brought by some of the local news media outlets a few years back arguing that the legislature was covered by the Public Records Act and should be complying with it. And the news media did ultimately win that litigation, and the public fought back an effort by the legislature to exempt itself from the Public Records Act. So we really, information like this historically has not been available. We've not generally been able to go back and look at what lawmakers were actually saying behind the scenes about legislation. So part of the reason this is noteworthy is because it's one of the first glimpses into what goes on in Olympia, and it presents that stark contrast between what lawmakers were saying publicly at the time, but what they were actually thinking and telling each other behind the scenes. So that's part of the significance of all of this information, I think, coming out now. Hopefully, you know, going forward, this will be a means of keeping lawmakers a little bit more accountable in the future.
Maybe, although I will say this, that is going to be put to the test in this next legislative session, which is going to be done remotely, which means they are going to be relying on emails and text messages way more now than they've had to in the past. I mean, in the past, and maybe even in the future, they thought pre-pandemic, realizing that they'd have to comply with public disclosure requests, oh, I'll just go down to their office and talk to them, and we'll just figure this out and make sure there's not a paper trail. Oh, no, no, no. That is not going to be the case anymore. The pandemic has made that nearly impossible.
I think you're right. And, you know, it remains to be seen exactly how the logistics of the 2021 legislative session are going to play out. But I think you're probably right. What you'll likely see is less public access to the legislative process at the time. It'll be harder to, you know, go down and talk to your lawmaker or go sit in on a in-person committee hearing. But you may get more transparency after the fact through the Public Records Act, because you're right, probably much more of the communication is going to have to be done in writing and through electronic means than has been the case in the past.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Max Nelson, Director of Labor Policy for the Freedom Foundation, freedomfoundation.com. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
You are listening to The Jason Rancho. When we come back, we're going to dive into the latest mandate to go into effect. Restaurants have to be closed to in-person dining. That's going to be hurting a lot of restaurants and a lot of their employees. Someone who knows about the intersection of politics and business is our next guest, State Senator Mark Mullett, himself a business owner, restaurant owner. He's going to be joining the conversation in just a moment.